I invite you this morning to turn back with me to Luke chapter 10. Be preaching from verses 38 through 42. Our text in these verses, 38 through 42, is a piece of history preserved by the Holy Ghost, and it's preserved for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. It's not just an idle tale, but it's a particular story, and it's put there. It's put there for our learning. Our text is one of many occasions where our Lord came and visited at the home of these beloved saints, Mary and Martha and Lazarus. John Gill, who was an avid reader of the old Jewish historian, seemed to believe that Martha was a widow of some means, that she had a husband. He wasn't rich, but he wasn't poor. He was a man of means and had left her well suited for the life of a widow, well protected and provided for. And therefore she was able to keep her sister Mary and to keep her brother Lazarus. On this particular visit, our Lord took the occasion to teach his disciples, and realizing what a privilege this was, Martha's younger sister Mary sat down at the feet of our Lord and just drank it in as he taught. You see, God's people have an unction from the Holy One. That's what John said. We have an unction from the Holy One, and we can discern when a man is sent from God and when he's not. There's no way to, I can tell you that and I can write it on a little business card or something, give it to you and you can look at it, but you're still not going to discern if that man is actually sent from God or not, apart from the unction of the Holy Spirit. There's no way to explain it, but you know. You know. Now there's other things. You listen to what this man has to say. You listen to what he's teaching. You listen to a lot of things. But that unction of the Holy Spirit will tell you that that man is sent of God. John said in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 6, we are of God. Talking about himself and his other disciples. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that knoweth not God heareth us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth, the spirit of error. Mary believed that Jesus was the Christ. And she counted this occasion of his visit as the most precious of gifts, and was determined that she was going to take full advantage of the situation. She didn't know if he'd be back. Ever. She didn't know if she'd ever hear from another preacher as long as she lived. She didn't know. But she knew on this day that this man, Jesus of Nazareth, was coming to her city, to this village, Bethany. And at that day, he was at her house. And she determined to take full advantage of it. Now, Martha was a believer too, but she viewed this occasion a little different than her sister. She was the homeowner. She had no husband, so she was basically the head of that household. And this was the Lord that was coming to visit her and his esteemed disciples, and she wanted to make a good impression. I do too. We have somebody come down here during our Bible conferences to speak. I don't want them to go back and say, boy, that's the worst place I ever seen. They won't feed you. They won't Nobody even asked me if I had a place to stay, you know. I want folks going back like that. I want to make a good impression, don't you? Oh, she was going about to the best of her means to serve their every want, whatever they wanted. If she had servants, and most of the writers believe that she did, they no doubt were also engaged in serving her guests, like bringing them wine to drink or whatever they did in those days for hors d'oeuvres. And they were waiting on them hand and foot, you know, be sure everybody's feet got washed and welcomed and all this stuff. In whatever those customs were, they were going about to do it. You know, and Mary's a nervous wreck. She's watching over this whole thing going on. My wife used to get in tizzy sometimes over Bible conferences. She worried about the food and worried about... That's Martha. That's what Martha was doing. This was the Lord coming. And his esteemed disciples. And Martha wanted to make a good impression. Did not want our Lord's visit to her home to be an embarrassment. She wanted to do well. Now this is the setting. This is the setting of our text as best as I can grasp it, and both the subject and my title are the same. Something our Lord said to her, one thing needful. One thing needful. There's five things that I hope to show you in these verses this morning. Five things which apply to us as well as unto Martha. May the Lord himself be pleased to be our teacher this morning. The first thing I want you to see is the gracious visit which they were privileged to receive. This was the Lord. This was the Lord. The Lord of glory is coming. What if you should receive news that the Lord of glory is going to come to your house? Huh? What? Huh? You'd be turned upside down, wouldn't you? Oh, all these things I've been putting off doing, I'd be sweeping the floor and mopping the kitchen and remodeling the house before we got there, basically. Do everything. The Lord's coming to her house. But he's not coming there to see the house. He's coming there to preach his gospel and manifest his glory in the hearts of his people. Our Lord begins this chapter with the appointment of 70 more. He'd already appointed 70 and sent them out. This was the second 70. There's 140 of them now. 70 more ambassadors to go into such places as he himself determined to go. And this is what those sent of God do. They go in the power of God's Spirit, being led of the same to minister where the Lord has already determined to go. Where's the Lord going? I don't know. Until his providence unfolds it to me. I don't know. I didn't have any idea the Lord was going to send me down here, and you didn't either, until his providence unfolded it. And now it's as clear to me as anything I've ever seen. This is where I'm supposed to be. This is where I can say it without hesitation. The Lord led me here in the power of his Spirit. Our Lord said to the 70, Luke 10:16, he that heareth you heareth me. You don't think that drops a weight on the speaker? You either fill in for me when I'm God and you let that sink in. He that heareth you heareth me. That's what he said. And then let that also fall on the ears of you hearers. He that despiseth you despiseth me. And he that despiseth me despises him that sent me. And he said unto them, in such a place where you're not received or cared for or obeyed, you just shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. It'd be provided for you. Don't you go house to house begging. Don't do that. And don't take a purse with you. I'll provide for you. I lay it on the hearts of my people, and they'll take care of you. Don't you take it. Don't you do it. I'll do it. And then he speaks plainly of these several cities where he'd already been, and the awful judgment of God, which now had been determined by God himself on such places, because they didn't do what he's talking to them about, people doing. He came, he preached, he sent John the Baptist before him, and they wouldn't hear him either. Now he said, woe unto you, Chorazin. Woe unto you, Capernaum. If the mighty works that were done in you were done in Sodom or Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented a long time ago in sackcloth and ashes. But now it's going to be more tolerable for those that were judged of God in Sodom and Gomorrah than it's going to be on you, because you wouldn't hear my gospel. Well, what's all that got to do with our story about Mary and Martha? Everything. Everything. This tells us in no uncertain terms how precious and gracious a gift it is from God when he comes to visit with his gospel. Isn't that what he was doing there that day? He came into that home and he sat in their living room or whatever room that was, and the people gathered around him, and even her sister sat down at his feet, and he preached to them the gospel of God's sovereign grace in himself. Luke 10:38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Now, I want you to look at every word of this verse. It ought to pluck a chord in the hearts of those who are here this morning who believe. The first is this: it came to pass. Just roll that around for a little bit in your mind. It came to pass. How come? Why did it come to pass at Martha's house and not in Chorazin? Why did it come to pass in her house and not Bethsaida or Capernaum? Because the Lord of glory caused it to come to pass. That's why. He left Nazareth and come to Capernaum to fulfill the prophet Isaiah's words that a people which sat in darkness would see great light. He must needs, it said, pass through Jericho. He must needs go through Samaria. And the needs were that what God had determined to do would in fact come to pass. What would be the odds? I want you to think about something with me. You know the story well, the church in Antioch. What would be the odds that all the Jews who had read the Bible from their youth up, who knew the prophets and were relatives of them, what would be the odds of all the Jews in that town of Antioch rejecting the gospel? And the Gentiles, who had never known anything but idolatry, worshiping frogs and worshiping fish and worshiping birds and four-footed beasts. What would be the odds of every Jew in that place turning their back on the gospel and the Gentiles receiving it? Huh? How in the world did such a thing come to pass? Well, it tells you right in those verses in the book of Acts. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. God brought it to pass. Why? Because that's what he determined to do by his sovereign grace. Is this how you think on what we're doing here today? Huh? When you got up this morning and you went into the shower like you always do and you're getting cleaned up and getting your clothes out put on, we're going to church today. Is that how you think on what's taking place here today? That God has determined this day, this hour, this man, this people, this message? Is that how you think on it when you come up here? You need to if you're not. Because that's exactly what it is. God has arranged this meeting and it's come to pass by his eternal decree. Paul said to the Ephesians, We also have obtained an inheritance, now listen, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Well, what come to pass that day? It said it came to pass. What come to pass? That Christ entered into a certain village. My soul, if you've ever looked on the internet at the villages up there, they're everywhere. But he didn't go everywhere. He went here. He went to this place, a certain village. Christ went to a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. I could camp here the rest of the morning, but let me just simply say that the good shepherd knows his sheep, and he seeketh his sheep, and he finds his sheep, and he knows his sheep, and he calls his sheep, and he saves his sheep. He picks them up in his bosom, and he carries them back to the sheepfold. Our Lord said in his high priestly prayer, I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. They're your people. I pray for them. Now, if the Lord of glory will not intercede for you, then everything else is for naught, is it not? If the Lord of glory, if the Lord himself refuses to pray for me, then everything else is for naught. Oh, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say redemption is particular. It's particular. The love of God has a certain object. Jacob, he said, have I loved. Esau, have I hated. When did he say that? Before they was ever born, before they ever did any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. That's what he said. And to my knowledge, every earthly relationship, which are all pictures of our relationship with God, every earthly relationship that we have is particular. I have one father, one mother. I have sisters and brothers. Huh? Particular. Particular relationship. And so is that relationship that we have with him. It's particular. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Do you not love your wife particular? Now, can you even imagine coming home from work one day and say, honey, I love you just like I love all the women in the world. Pow! And if she don't, she ought to. It's particular. This was a certain village and a certain woman that the Lord came to, a certain house. He had a certain message. All heavenly and eternal blessings of God are given in Christ according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. And there was a certain village and a certain woman and a certain work and means, and all these were coming to pass on this day. It came to pass. Came to pass. All right, here's the second thing I want you to think about. A situation arose. It always does. It always does. A situation arose. Situations are arranged by the Lord to teach us something about His grace and glory and to shut us up to His Son. Lord, who sinned that this man was born blind? Did his parents sin or did he sin? No, neither one of them. That's not why he was born blind. He was born blind for the glory of God. Situations, they're arranged by God. I think about these situations all the time. Pray for them. Pray for them that they come to pass. I was talking to Brian about a message Don Fortner preached years ago, and he was talking about from Romans 8:28 about all things working together for good. And he said, if you ever get a chance to go to London, he said, take that tour, and sometimes they'll let you go up and look inside Big Ben. Look inside. And he said, it's just full of gears. There's gears and chains and pulleys and things going up and down and weights hanging and all this stuff. He said, this is what's going on in Providence. And you look over here and this wheel is going like this. Boy, it's just spinning. It's just going and going and going and going. You look over here and you can't even see this one move. But this one affects this one. How does it get there? It goes to this one, this one, this one, this one, this one, always. All things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. All these things moving in God's providence. Situations. God creates situations. He arranges situations. Now, from what others say, Martha was a widow of means. She wasn't rich, but she was well taken care of, able to keep her sister Mary and Lazarus. And Jesus, whom Martha believed to be the Christ, was a man of reputation. Martha wanted to put her best foot forward. And He didn't travel alone. People followed Him. People entered into that house, at least His disciples. And Martha began to prepare not just a meal. She set out to entertain all His guests as well as the Lord Himself. And somewhere in the middle of all this stuff, things went haywire. Things went overboard. I tried in my introduction to impress upon you how precious this occasion was. You can't hear unless God sends His preacher. Now, I'm telling you what the Scripture says. How are you going to hear? This is what the Holy Ghost, who inspired men to write this Bible, these are the very words that He put in here. How are you going to call on Him and whom you've not heard? How are you going to hear without a preacher? Because there's none, that's what Paul said in Romans 3, there's none that understandeth. And there's none that seeketh after God. And there's none good and there's none righteous. And they've all gone away. And there's no fear of God before their eyes. How are you going to come to any knowledge unless you hear? And how are you going to hear without a preacher? This was a precious occasion. This was the most highly privileged thing God can do to you is make cross your path with a preacher and give him the gospel to preach to you and give you a heart to understand it and hear it and believe it. There's nothing more important in this world than that. Oh, my house just going to fall apart. Let it crumble. I'll lose my job. Give it up. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? You have to hear. And that hearing has to come from God. And if he's going to call you, he's going to send you a preacher. That's just so. That's just so. And I tried in my introduction to impress upon you how precious this occasion is. It's a precious occasion when the Lord of light makes his light to shine in your house. Now, it's important to treat our visitors with kindness and generosity, but don't let your hospitality take preeminence over the gospel. The whole reason for our Lord's coming to this house was to preach his gospel and manifest the glory of God in the hearts of his elect. But the situation got out of hand. The Lord was discoursing to his disciples, and Martha's younger sister Mary was sitting at the feet of the Lord just drinking in the words. Boy, don't you drink them in when the Lord blesses. Now we sit, we realize this is the Lord speaking to me. Don't you just drink them in. And here's the homeowner. She's looking in there, and here's everybody sitting in there, and she's busy and about and serving tables, and she owns the house. She's serving tables. She's waiting on the guests. She's waiting on her younger sister that she allows to be in her house and take care of. Now I want our visitors to be cared for here during the Bible conference and fed and make sure that they have places to stay. But I don't want our kitchen to take preeminence over this auditorium. And I'm not going to let it. I don't want our fleshly food to take preeminence over the spiritual food. Martha would have been a lot better off prepared some sandwiches and just served the sandwiches and sat down by Mary and listened. She'd been a lot better off. A few people might have left and said, boy, she ain't much of a host. She'd have been a lot better off than to ignore the preaching of the gospel to serve hors d'oeuvres. And then Martha, who thought she would get some recognition, she didn't get it. She did what no believer ought to do. She interrupted the work of the Lord as he taught and preached the gospel. If you get sick during the worship service, get up and go back to the kitchen area or back to the bathrooms as quietly as possible. If you have a child that's misbehaving, take him out of the auditorium and correct him. But do it quietly and quickly as possible. There's no greater privilege that God can bestow upon this place than the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And everything we do here ought to be to serve that end. Everything that we do. But Martha wasn't thinking about this at all. She was thinking about herself and her work and her house and her sacrifice and her reputation. So this is the situation. God arranged the situation. Thirdly, a crime was committed. A crime? Yeah. Yeah. Started out with self-promotion. I love the ladies in this assembly. They've always been kind and obedient and do what I ask them to do with no argument. And I love you for it. And they're all good cooks. But don't ever look at our fellowship dinners and our conference meals as a cooking competition. Don't do it. Fix something that you like to eat and bring it. I guarantee you everybody else will like it. Everybody else will like it. Just cook your favorite dish and bring it, and thank God you've got an interest to be here and not somewhere else, and a great privilege bestowed on you for you to be here and for you to hear. Now, this situation, it started out with self-promotion, and then it grew into disappointment. It just didn't work out. You ever feel that way? Nothing I do. Nobody likes me. Nobody likes what I do. Huh? It grew into disappointment. Nobody said anything to Martha. They were all enthralled with the Lord and his teaching. And then disappointment evolved into anger. She got mad. Martha got mad. Martha was embarrassed and angry, and anger grew into action. And Martha, instead of realizing the value of the situation and the glorious privilege that was being given to her, she saw nothing but herself and her reputation and her good intentions and everything else in the world except that privilege. And so she not only interrupts the worship of God, but she comes in and casts an aspersion on the Son of God. Can you imagine? Now, I'm going to tell you something. You can't be thinking about him as he's revealed in the scripture and cast an aspersion on him. Lord, don't you care? Don't you care? This is our Lord's preaching. He's teaching. He got the word of God and he's teaching. And she just right into the room. Lord, don't you care? Don't you care? I've invited you here. I've provided for you. Don't you care? Now, let me tell you something. Number one, it was not the Lord's fault that Martha put herself in this situation. Martha put herself in this situation. You're going to get in a situation, but when you do, don't you start casting aspersions on him. He didn't put you there. You put yourself there. She did this all by herself. Number two, no man, woman, boy, or girl ever has any right or reason to question the love and the goodness and the kindness of the Lord, especially when he had granted his presence at your house. Don't you care? Oh, my soul. Care? God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not also with him freely give us all? Huh? Don't you care? Well, you know about care. I tell you, we don't know this much about care. His very name is care. And we're going to cast an aspersion on him. Now, you're not only casting an aspersion on him, but now you're casting an aspersion on what he's teaching. Because if he don't care, why should we believe what he's got to say? Oh, listen to me. He didn't go to the governor's house. He came to hers. He didn't go to the king's house. He came to her house. And he didn't come there empty-handed. He came there with the words of life. His disciples, he said, will you go too? And they said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And he brought those words to her house. And she questioned whether or not he cared. He didn't come there and sit quietly over in the corner. He came there to make an intervention in their life. Don't you care? Fourthly, it was a public, because the crime was public, but a gracious reproof that ensued this crime. Boy, aren't you glad that God corrects his children and don't just Martha, Martha. Let me tell you something. Back in the Old Testament, there was a woman who cast an aspersion on Moses, his sister. And God smote her with leprosy. God didn't smite Martha with leprosy. But what he did in kindness and gentleness and grace is he said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Can I tell you something I've learned afresh in the last couple months? Everything that you're so careful and anxious to have not going to mean anything to you. You get a little comfort from them and then it's gone. Buy that new car, 6 months, it's an old car. You thinking about the next new car. The size and quality of your house and your car, they don't matter. All your possessions will lose their glitter. The only thing that's going to matter in that day is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. The rest of it is just temporary. If that's intact, if that union with Christ is intact, you're truly blessed with riches beyond your comprehension. And then fifthly, our Lord brings the lesson of his visit to Martha home to our hearts. He said, Martha, you're busy. You're going about, you're careful and you're anxious and you're troubled about everything under the sun except your soul and except our union. This union of faith. And our Lord brings this home to him. He says here in verse 42, but one thing is needful. You worried about this and that and something else, but these things are nice and they have a place. But they're not needful. There's only one thing that is needful, and that's your union with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care what you accumulate in this world, and I don't care what goes on around you. I'm telling you, when it comes down to that place, the only thing that's going to make any difference is, do I know him, and does he know me? That's it. One thing is needful, and that's our spiritual union with him, that vital union of faith, which enables us by the work of his Spirit to believe on and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. And that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. And that being so, and it is, what could be more needful for you and I than to hear this gospel? Huh? So the next time something gets under your skin, you think about this situation. Think about this situation. And think about what a privilege God bestowed on you to hear. To hear. While millions, I ain't talking 4 or 5, I'm talking about millions around you who don't hear anything. John said, and we know the whole world lieth. We are of God and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Then I ought to count that a great privilege, shouldn't I? That I know him. Because to know him is eternal life. That's eternal life.